roll you. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. Verse 4 of chapter 1. And verse 14. And then we'll look at all the verses that are in between. Speaking of Jesus being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Then in verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I'll have to confess that I never refer to my wife as angel. And I hope you don't. I got your attention, didn't I? Because in verse 14, it states they are all ministering spirits, speaking of angels. And this term, ministering spirits, means public servants. I don't think you ought to refer to your wife as a public servant. Now, she may feel that way, and you may have not given her credit for being a public servant, but I think we've confused angels and what they do and who they are, and in doing so, we make the same mistake that the Jewish people did. They came close to worshiping angels. I mean, it would have been wrong, and they understood it, but angels they were very important to their theology and to their life. And of course, there was a reason for them to pay attention to angels, because a great deal of their lives had been changed because of angelic appearances from time to time. Not necessarily to the people only, but to their leaders. So they had great respect and spoke often of angels. The word angel in our King James Bibles and in most other Bibles is not a translation of the word. It's simply a transfer or transliteration. And the word angelos means servant or to minister. There's actually two words that are translated servant or and the word angel is used, but that has given us an impression and a connotation that some way, somehow, these angels are somewhere between us and God. And that they should be mentioned with awe and reverence. And that when people die, they become angels. Or especially the death of a child is referred to, well, they've become an angel in heaven. I hope this morning you will understand that not only is Jesus better than the angels, but we also are better than the angels. We are a higher creation than angels. Now, angels were first created when God made the heavens and the earth. And the angels came into being and they rejoiced at seeing the mighty power and magnificence and beauty of what God had created. But at that point in time, they became servants of God, ministering in the realm of heaven and earth that he has just created. But God's highest creation was not the earth, and we shouldn't worship the earth. We're not nature worshipers, because God created the earth and all that is in the earth to serve us. It is for our benefit. We're not on the earth to benefit the earth. The earth is there, and we're on it so that it may benefit us. But these are all ministering spirits. They're the creation of God. We do believe that, led by Lucifer, who was an archangel, about a third of the angels followed him in rebellion against God. And so we have fallen angels. We have angels who rebelled against the authority of God and the subjection that they owed to God. And they're still around today, a part of the demonic system that works. But then there are the angels of God who are ministering spirits. They are, and the term from which the name ministering spirits comes is public servants, primarily in the temple where they aided people in worship. Now, I like that. I like the fact that angels attend worship services, not so we can worship them, but so they can aid us in worship. And how they do that, I don't understand at all, but I'm just taking the Bible by faith. Now, angels have never had bodies. They're invisible. But in certain circumstances, they can assume a human body. And in assuming a human body, they may talk to human beings and reveal to those human beings the will of God. We know that angels attended the birth of Jesus, and God used them to inform those shepherds and to sing or manifest their joy at seeing their Creator brought into the form of a human being, which is extraordinary. Beyond extraordinary. But because the Hebrews, and that's the title of this book that we're studying this morning, because the Hebrews revered the angel so highly, then the author of Hebrews, whom we believe to be Paul, is trying to show them that everything that has come into this world with the birth of Jesus Christ, that all of this brought a better system. A better system of worship. A better system of service. And I think that Paul emphasized that because they thought they had moved from something that was tremendous into something that's sort of second class. Because remember, they have left the temple with all of its glory and power, with all of its magnificence, with all of its gleaming stones and gold and silver applications in an architectural form. It was one of the seven wonders of the world. And here they are now just meeting in the homes of people or in some public place. It's quite a come down, isn't it? People have always thought that God would come to a beautiful place and be pleased more than he would if he just came into the ordinary. But that's a misperception. God is best pleased when he comes into a place where hearts welcome him, regardless of the surroundings. So let's look at what Paul wrote about Jesus being better than the angels. That is, we understand the word better very well, and it means to be stronger, more powerful, that it is a matter of power and superiority or worth and advantage. It doesn't pertain to goodness in the sense that Jesus is better than the angels in that he's better than the angels in being good. But it has to do with power and magnificence and what he can give to God's people. being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He did inherit a better name than an angel. You know what the better name is? It's servant. It's Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He has a better inheritance and a better name than angels. And he is superior to angels because he is the Son of God. He received his power and his name from God. He is the Son of God, the Son of the God, one Son, and the heir of God to all things. Now, there are some things that the Father never said to the angels. And that's what Paul listed in these next verses. Some things that God said to Jesus or said about Jesus that he's never said to an angel. And Paul's going to use the Old Testament. For unto which of the angels said he at any time? In other words, just check your scriptures and see if you can recall or find. Thou art my son. You will never see where God referred to an angel as his son. This day have I begotten thee. God never said that to an angel. He has said it only to Jesus Christ. And again, I will be to him a father. God never said to an angel, I am your father. He has never said to an angel, and you shall be my son. But we know that God has said to Jesus Christ, I am your father, and you are my only begotten son. Those are some things that God never said to angels. And again, that is, let me show you another circumstance that has never occurred with the angels. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So angels worship Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't worship angels, but angels worship Jesus Christ. So therefore, they are not superior to Jesus, but they are inferior to Jesus. And of the angels he saith, now in other words, this is what's written, who maketh his angels spirits. Now, they're not flesh and blood. They're spirits. He makes his servants spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, I understand that to mean that the spirits are like the wind. We do not see them. But his ministers as a flame of fire refers, I think, to lightning. So they're swift and go to their task very quickly. In other words, God defined who they are and what they are to do. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He's never said to the angels, you are people who will occupy a throne. Angels do not sit upon thrones in heaven. God has a throne and Jesus Christ has a throne, but his angels are spirits and they have never been invited to sit upon a throne. A scepter of rightness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And a scepter is simply an emblem of power and authority. And God never gave an angel a scepter to rule a kingdom. But God gave Jesus Christ a scepter. And God gave Jesus Christ a kingdom to rule. Now he continues quoting from the Bible about Jesus Christ. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, Jesus loved righteousness. He is entirely righteous. He also despised iniquity, which is evil. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee, that's Jesus, with the oil of gladness. That is, no angel has been anointed with the oil of gladness, but they have been anointed to bring the news, that is, good news in the sense of announcing from time to time that which is good. But God the Father anointed Jesus Christ with the oil of gladness, not the oil of sadness, but the oil of gladness. And if there is any glad news in our world today, it is that he is our king in exile. He is our soon coming king, and his kingdom is on the way. So it's all good news, glad news. So rejoice that God did not put angels in charge of our future, but he put his son, Jesus Christ, in charge of our future. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Angels didn't create the earth. Jesus Christ created the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hand. We know that Jesus created everything. John tells us in the beginning that was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word, which refers to Jesus Christ, was the creator, bringing into being things that did not exist so that we might have them as a part of God's creations. And the heavens are the works of thine hand. Angels didn't do it. They shall perish. What shall perish? That which Jesus made, the foundations of the earth, the heavens, they shall perish, but thou remainest. After everything goes back into its invisible circumstance before God breathed or spoke and the world came into being, and I'm using God and Jesus synonymously in this because the scriptures do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but it was the person of Jesus who created the heavens and the earth. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall never fail. That's the superiority of Jesus. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand? He's never said to an angel, come and sit upon a throne at my right hand and let us converse and let us work in harmony. Let us plan and let us bring to pass the plans that are made. Not to a single one. Not even to Michael or Gabriel, and certainly not to Lucifer. And that's what Lucifer wants. He wants that throne. He wants that power. And he will have it for a brief period of time in the person of the Antichrist. Just as Jesus Christ was the epitome of God, the Antichrist will be the epitome of Satan. And just as Lucifer led a rebellion against God when he saw that Jesus was God's only begotten Son, not in its actuality, but in the plan of God. God was planning to have a son, and this son would redeem the earth, and it'd be his only begotten son. And evidently Lucifer was very angry about this, rebelled and led other angels in rebellion. And you'll remember that Lucifer tempted Jesus in the temptation and said, why don't you just worship me and get it over with? Why don't you just fall down and acknowledge me as a superior? And then you won't have to go to the cross and die. We'll just set the thing up right now, sort of intimating between you and me, we can rule the world. We can get this kingdom going right now. And you won't have to go to the cross. And Jesus said, that's not God's plan. Get behind me. I'm not listening to you. I'm not going to let you thwart the plans of God for myself and for human beings. He's never said, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Only to Jesus Christ. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? We are the heirs of salvation. And these are ministering spirits, and if we use the term, public servants. Now, chapter 2 states, therefore, that is based upon these things that I've said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and their inferior, yet they brought revelation and they spoke it to human beings who then carried it to God's people. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? In other words, if the angels spoke, and what they spoke at God's direction as a servant, and they spoke it to human beings, and if what the message the angels carried, when it was disobeyed, brought death and brought chaos, just as God said, how much more then will we be subject to the teachings of Christ, his teachings are direct from God and they're more sure? In other words, if angels spoke and that came to pass and Jesus spakes, well, that's certainly going to come to pass. And people received a recompense of reward. How shall we escape? Now, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of God, the Holy Ghost according to his own will. That is, those who are heirs of the kingdom. Now, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. Okay. You say, well, when we get to heaven, there'll be all the angels there and we'll be sort of working under the angels. No. Notice what verse 5 says. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Now he does go ahead and explain why Jesus became lower than the angels. That is, he became a man. Lower than the angels, he became a man. Why? Well, if you'll read the rest of chapter 2, you'll see that so he could live on earth, that he could see all the temptations that befall us, that he could be tempted at all points like as we are and yet without sin, that he could suffer, that he would even know what death is, so then all of these things, he would become the perfect Savior. You see, if he had not experienced what it's like to be a human being, then he would not know really how to relate to our calls upon him. But he became subject so that he could experience himself what it is like to live on this earth. You just think about it. Was Jesus ever hungry? I think so. Was he ever in pain? I think so. Was he ever misunderstood? I think so. Was he ever punished? Was he ever an outcast from his own people? Did they despise him? He suffered as a human being, yet without sin. Not because he sinned, but so that he could know what sin is like to the human body and to the human heart, to the human mind. And that makes him the perfect mediator, the perfect Savior, the perfect sacrifice, because he is the one mediator between God and men. I'm glad I'm not going to be an angel, and very few people have ever referred to me as one, even misunderstanding the concept. And you say, well, what about a child? If they don't become angels, what do they become? They become living spirits in the presence of God. Too young to understand themselves to be sinners. Under the blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. But their immature bodies will not be raised in immaturity, but raised in maturity. To join the Spirit is never an infant spirit. There's no minor spirits in the sense of human beings. I've got a spirit, and these newborns have a spirit, and it's the same spirit. It's just that sometimes sin intervenes, and I'm not talking about persons, but just the fact of sin, and something happens. I believe that when we get to heaven, I believe that in the resurrection, that the infants who've been under the blood of Jesus will be given mature bodies. You'll not miss seeing your child as an adult, because the spirit in them is the same as my spirit, same as your spirit. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God powerful? Isn't God to be praised and worshiped? A God who makes no mistakes, and a God who loves us beyond any comprehension that we may have. A God who forgives, who has loving kindness and loving mercy, who is a good God, who's the only God that can be called a God of grace. Let's stand and sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and I'll go with him.